The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Welcome back to The Back Page. We've got a big Aintree Grand National Festival preview coming up here. We'll also be looking at the Premier League, maybe a little bit of darts. With me today, I have Shane Mahon from Ladbrokes. How are you doing, Shane?
Not too bad, Shane. How are you?
Not too bad. On the line of Peter O'Hare, the horse racing guru in the Mirror. How are you doing, Peter?
Not too bad, Shane. All good.
Good. And his heir apparent, the man looking to knock him off his throne, Eamon Doggett, another horse racing expert from the Mirror. How are you doing, Eamon?
Good, thanks, Shane.
Good. It's been one of those weeks, lads. Just Patrick Reed won the Masters, not very popular. Caster Semenya then won the 1500 in the women's at the Commonwealth Gold, making Patrick Reed look popular just because of that contentious hyper-androgynism issue there, which we won't really go into. And then we've got the Gigi Buffon, his final ever Champions League game. He gets red carded against a Zinedine Zidane team 12 years after Zinedine Zidane's final game.
I was just about to say, the first image that came into my head was the famous World Cup final incident, the headbutt. And very, very sad ending to, you know, it's probably going to be his last season, so his last big game on the European stage. And it looked for all the world that, you know, it was at least going to go to extra time and potentially penalties, and who knows what could happen after
you
that.
You feel robbed of extra time at that stage. Yeah, I felt robbed.
You have to give it to the referee. Like, it's a great call.
Michael Oliver, he got it right. I think Mehdi Benatia is the guy who was an idiot, because why would you tackle Lucas Vasquez like that? He still needed to take two touches to score, and Buffon was right beside him. But anyway, we're going to focus on the Grand National. We're going to go in heavy on that. So just to start off, the Grand National itself, Saturday, 5:15, very, very open race. As we talk at the moment on Thursday morning, the field hasn't been confirmed just yet. But Willie Mullins looks like he has the favourite in Total Recall, who did fall at the Gold Cup.
Yeah, he did indeed, Shane. Yeah, it's actually 10-1 at Ladbrokes, the first four in the betting. Don't forget as well, we'll be paying an extra place, quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 places each way in the big race at 5:15 on Saturday. So do be aware of that. Annabelle Fly is at 10-1, along with Blackline, first run due after a wind up, also 10-1. Tiger All been well backed all week, 10-1. Total Recall, you mentioned, is at 10-1. One of the biggest movers of the week is the Katie Walsh runner, been in the press this week. Russell Sullivan trains this one. By Desile is at 16-1, along with See You at Midnight, also 16s. The Last Samurai 16s, it's 18s bar. So not too much to separate them at the head of the betting at the moment, Shane.
Peter, what way are you looking? Could you back Total Recall after what happened in the Gold Cup?
Well, what happened in the world in the Gold Cup wouldn't put me off. He did take a fall. He was going quite well at the time. Fell at the third last. He's improved dramatically this season. Now he was with Sandra Hughes until she retired, and William Mullins took him over. And he has done everything right. He won the Munster National off an admittedly lenient mark. He won the Ladbrokes Trophy, formerly the Hennessy in Newbury, which was a tremendous performance, and he went over hurdles at Leopardstown as Willie was protecting his mark. And he's a classy horse, and he's an improver. I wouldn't worry too much about a fall on the last day. He's normally a good jumper. Aintree, of course, takes jumping skills more than most places, but it's a case really of if a horse takes to it and gets into a rhythm, he should be fine.
Yeah, I concur with Peter there. Of the favourites, I think it's I like it the best, as Peter says, master improvement on William Munns, which I think he's done with a good few of his handicappers this year. Look, pair of brown eyes as well. Yeah. And the jumping does concern me. I mean, before the Gold Cup, before he fell, he was a few dodgy jumps, I thought, but they were going a heck of a pace, but might buy Nave River in front, so you can excuse that. A lot of horses were jumping badly behind it. I can see it staying the trip. I'd imagine Townend will have him close to the pace, which, well, personally, what I like to see in the National, avoid the trouble, avoid the runners.
He
could drop him in the middle of it. It's hard to know. I think the ground dries anymore, you'll like it even more. And of the favourites, I like him the most. I'm not too keen on Blackline. People
struggled the last day, didn't he? He clambered over the last and was pretty legless coming down to the last as well. Obviously, there was a breathing issue there as well. So he is having his first run after a breathing off for Nigel Twiston Davis. And this has been the plan for him all season as well, hasn't it? So,
but didn't really stay the trip last year, and that was better ground last year. So I don't know why you'd make the argument to stay the trip this year. Who do you fancy in the race, Shane?
Total Recall is going to be the one. I'm going to go with two. Total Recall is going to be the one actually at near the head of the betting for William Mullins and Paul Town. And he's actually only £9 higher, would you believe, for his win in the Ladbrokes Trophy at the beginning of the season at Newbury. And as Peter mentioned there, you know, he was travelling pretty well until coming down three out in the Gold Cup. Now, it's debatable whether or not he would have been close to the front two. I mean, they went a hell of a gallop in the Gold Cup on that occasion. Native River and Might Bite. So it's debatable whether or not he would have got close enough to be competitive, but he was definitely coming back into it at the time. And another one at a massive price now, I'm going to be laughed at for this, but he might have a chance of running into a place. Lord Windermere. Now, believe it or not, he hasn't won a race since he won the Gold Cup 4 years ago. Lord Windermere for Jim Cullity. Andrew Lynch is up this coming Saturday as well. He's running this race a couple of occasions, and he's actually, I think, £16 or £17 better off than his first run in the race a few seasons back when he was pulled up behind Manny Clouds. Was seventh then in the race last year and ran pretty well until falling at the 10th, I think it was, in the Beecher Chase at entry earlier on in the season. So, I mean, if he gets into it, then you will know your fate pretty early enough in this race in relation to Lord Windermere if you've gotten involved. But 66-1, I'll have a few quid on each way.
Peter, Shane is trying to ruin us here by tipping Lord Windermere. What way are you actually looking for this?
Well, it's normally it's a race you can make a case for an awful lot of horses, and it's no exception this year. At the head of the market, I know Black Lion has to bounce back from a disappointing run in the trial in Haydock, but he has had a wind operation, and looking back to his novice days, I always thought he struck me as a horse that would win a national someday. I really fancied him last year. He travelled like a winner, jumped brilliantly, did everything right, looked as if he didn't get home. It was better ground. But I just wonder now, the fact that they found a wind issue and that he's had an operation since Haydock, that maybe that was a problem in the past as well. And although he has a lot of weight, 11-9, I'm expecting him to run well. Another one at the top of the market, the horse that I'd just about plump for would be Gordon Elliott's horse, Tiger Row. Now, he's not very big, but he's nimble. He's the right age. He's an eight-year-old. He's improving. He's won three times at the Cheltenham Festival, including a Triumph Pearl, which would be a fairly unique sort of a stat on the CV of a horse going for the national.
Is he not but,
he won the cross-country.
What about the odd bad
he won
jump?
The cross-country. Sorry?
Is he not inclined for the odd bad jump, which you can't really
he is, but,
do here?
Well, that's it. You can't. But I mean, but I find with Aintree, it's a case of if you get into a rhythm over the first few fences and avoid trouble. I mean, horses that normally make a few mistakes have regularly taken well to Aintree. I don't think a horse that, you know, makes an odd mistake is necessarily going to fall at Aintree. It's totally different. Depending on how soft the ground is, how fast they go, that'll have a big bearing on things as well. Tiger Roll will stay. He's won the four miler in Cheltenham. He's won the cross country. I just think he has a chance if Davy Russell can avoid trouble early on and get him travelling sweetly. Yeah. Well, as I say, you could make a case for so many of them. Gordon's other horse, Ucheno County, was going very well when he unseated at Beecher's the second time last year. He's a horse that's been off the radar this year. Ran very well in the Paddy Power. Was pulled up in bottomless ground in the Tieste the last day. He's had a light season. He's another one that would be very much worth considering.
Now, I'm surrounded by experts here, but I'm going to make a case for why you should follow my tip on this one. Just to refer back to Cheltenham, right?
Oh, here we go.
So I had Somerville Somerville Boy, 12-1 winner. Presenting Percy, I said go all in, 7-2 winner. Footpad at evens, Bouverdaire 8-11, and Black Ops each way 16-1. So if you had a tenner stake on each there, it would have returned 250, including the each way bet.
That's why you've been on such a prolonged long holiday, Shane.
Exactly,
it?
And that's why I've been able to afford to keep myself well oiled. But so my tip for this one: 16-1, Last Samurai, second in this 2 years ago. Maybe go that extra step here, Eamon.
Yeah, it ran very well in the cross country at Cheltenham.
It was third, yeah.
As Peter says, you do. Well, I like horses that run well. That you know run well. I mean, ain't you before? It's a unique test. It likes jumping the fences. I don't know. It's hot. I think its best chances have gone in the race. It's higher up the weights. But I could see it run into place, yeah.
Just one of the best backed horses of the week. It'd be interesting to get Peter's view on this as well. By the Zeal, trained by Ross O'Sullivan and Katie Walsh. It's been in the news all this week, Peter, as well. By the Zeal, the 40-1 at the end of last week, now into 16-1. Where do you think that support has come from?
I think a lot of it is to do with the media exposure that the mare has got in Katie Walsh. Between late show appearances and everything else, I think it would be a fairy tale. Bay de Zeal is a grey mare. She'd be easy to pick out all the way around. You won't have any problem finding her. Katie, superb horsewoman. She was third on Seabass in the past. This mare stays. She jumps well. And normally, little fear I would have would be that if the ground dries up a bit and they go their normal speed down to the first, that she likes to kind of dictate things from the front, that might not be possible. But she has a lot going for her. She's a 7-year-old. She doesn't have experience of entry, but I think the fairy tale story has a lot to do with the price shortening in the last week or so.
Yeah, I might throw in one there, Shane, there about 100-1 Maggio. I could be dreaming here.
Throw your
money
down the sink here.
Yeah, I know. But it won a handicap here at Aintree about 2 years ago. Patrick Griffin trained a small trainer, but it's done nothing really since. But it ran in handicaps this season, graded handicaps, which no one thought it'd have a chance, and it was last in all of them. But actually wasn't being too far, and you know, it likes to track. I just won if you're going to stick a few kid each way. I think it might have him 13 years old.
Three figures, 100-1.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I wouldn't put your money on it now, to be fair. Mm. Just looking at the Topham Chase at the 4:05 on Friday over 2 miles and 5.5 furlong. Pretty open race, Shane.
Yeah, it is another very open race, Shane. It's over the, I suppose, the minimum trip, if you want to compare it to the Grand National Marathon. That's 4 miles, 2.5. This is over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. Theatre Territory at 8-1. 007 is at 10-1. That's going to be the one that I'm going to flag up. 11-1 Top Gamble and 12-1 bar for the Topham. Don't forget, we go on extra place in shops once again in our Republic of Ireland shops on the Topham Chase this week.
Peter, who do you fancy here?
I wouldn't be getting carried away with the race. 007 is a solid horse, a bit disappointing the last day. If I was forced into it a little each way on him at that sort of price, but even more so than the National with the smaller field, it's probably an absolute minefield.
Yeah, Go Conquer is a fairly solid jumper. This is probably his trip. 16-1, Eamon?
Yeah, I like that as well. Again, I wouldn't have mass opinion, but Go Conquer is, again, likes to be up in the lead, which you like in these kind of races. And but I can see why the one he's coming from, so 7, it seems to be the plan for a while. Nicky Henderson's great record at the meeting.
Yeah, I think he could have another good week this week as well. He's plenty of sharp price favourites to run as well. And 007 is going to be the one for me, Shane, in the Topham Chase.
Okay, so we'll move on to the JLT Melling Chase then, over 2 miles, 4 furlongs. It's goes off at 3:25 on Friday. Eamon, what way are you looking at this one? It's a good race with Min, who gave Altior a good race in Cheltenham against the Ryanair winner Balco de Flow. Politolog is in there as well.
Yeah, I do see as a two-horse race between Min and Balco de Flow. I was a good jumper, but I don't think it's up to this. I was really impressed with Balco de Flow. I was lucky enough to be on decent price in the Ryanair, so that was a great one. I just think Min might be a bit classier. I think the Ryanair Back of the Flow one wasn't the strongest renewal.
He seemed to breeze past Undersells.
Yeah,
if he
really,
wasn't there
really
as well,
impressive
wasn't
though,
the,
wasn't
it?
The same. I'm kind of torn between the two. Mm. But I thought Min ran really well to get that close to Altior. Min's tried a bit further once before, I think, at the start of the season. I think the trip should be fine. But I don't know, I think it's going to be a great race to watch, but I think it's definitely two horses. I don't know what Peter thinks of it.
Peter, do you reckon Min to beat Balco in a sprint finish?
I don't know about a sprint finish. I don't think there'll be too many sprint finishes in dead ground around there. Balco was very impressive, the way he travelled behind Undersoul and went by him, but I think we haven't seen the best of Min yet, and his champion chase run was rock solid. The trip, I don't think it's going to be a problem, and I would edge in favour of Min over the other horse.
Mm. And like when you say that we haven't seen the best yet of Min, like when do you see that coming?
Well, he's relatively lightly raced, and these horses reach their prime at 8 or 9 normally, and I just think that the way he has grown and filled out and everything else, I think physically he's getting stronger all the time, and I'd say we mightn't even see the best of him till next year. But he's in the stable where there are lots of stars, so he's still a bit under the radar, but maybe this will be his chance to prove himself.
I'm just going to flag up one here, Shane, to take on the front two in the betting. Just a very small field in this year's renewal of the JLT Melling Chase, over 2.5 miles. As mentioned, Min and Balca de Flo there, and potentially a match race. Hopefully, anyway, Blitlock can show a lot better than what he showed against Altior back at Cheltenham. Just seems to be that any time he runs at Cheltenham, he gets carried away. He sweated up beforehand again this year in the Champion Chase. I just don't think he takes the preliminaries very well at Cheltenham, and hasn't done so in the past. So hopefully entry to flatter track as well. He has £7 or £8 to find with the likes of Min and Balca de Flo on official figures, and he was well beaten the last day, and he was beaten by Altior before that as well in Altior's reappearance after a wind-up, but only by 4 lengths, although Altior did seem to have plenty more left in the tank. At 11-2, possibly one without the favourite for me, Blitlock, in this year's Melling Chase, Blitlock.
Okay, so just
can I just jump in there, Shane? One thing about Politolog, he did get wound up in Cheltenham and has done in the past, and whereas you would expect Aintree to be a little calmer, Friday is Ladies' Day in Aintree, and there will be a din around the place all day, and they'll do well to keep him calm and.
Just to say
composed
then,
in the ring point, and going to the start.
If you do see a loose horse running on Ladies' Day at entry, you know who that is. A split log and tear up your ticket. But hopefully, if he gets down to the start, all being well, he doesn't sweat up, he could be there with a chance, hopefully, to take on Min and Balca de Flo.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah. So jumping forward to Saturday then again, the 4:20, the Ryanair Stayers hurdle over 3 miles and a 3.5 furlong. Sam Spinner, 6-4 favourite. What do you reckon, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, he disappointed, didn't he, at Cheltenham? It's funny, I was looking at a replay of the Stairs Hurdle at this year's renewal of the Cheltenham Festival. If you freeze it for those runners coming down to the last hurdle, you'd swear it was like a 5 furlong sprint finish. I mean, they were running over 3 miles, and yet there's about 12 or 13 horses within a couple of lengths of each other coming down to the last hurdle. Now, ultimately, Penn Hill and Super Sunday both pulled away in the closing stages. But yeah, Sam Spinner, he was slightly disappointing. He's actually come into 11-8 in the betting as well in recent hours. So he has been backed. Holstone is there at 5-2. Now there's plenty of horses with several entries, with multiple entries in the novices races over the couple of days at Aintree. 7-1 a bit the World's End. Lammy Surge is in there at 8-1, but he's in a race today, Thursday, at Aintree, so might not take his chance. So it's going to be interesting to see what lines up, but Sam Spinner, if you cross off that run at Cheltenham, you know, he could be the one to beat.
Yeah, and Peter Holstone, the obvious danger after third at Cheltenham as well. What way are you looking?
I just feel that Aintree will suit Sam Spinner. I think he'll be able to do a solo in front. I don't think in Cheltenham, I don't know whether he didn't go fast enough that they were stacking up behind him, but I think if he's let bowl along around Aintree, he just might have a lot of horses in trouble turning up that long straight. And I think he could turn it around. Holstone is solid, but I think Sam Spinner could make all.
Just to say as well, he won't have an issue with the ground. There'll be a lot of talk about the ground this week on the hurdles and in the Grand National course at Aintree this week. He's a winner on heavy ground. He's a winner on good to soft as well this season, so he won't have an issue with the ground.
I'd be a Sam Spinner fan myself. Now, I didn't actually rate him before the Stairs, but I thought it ran really well. I think if it makes more of a stand on a test here, as Shane was saying, it was a bit of a sprint finish. Like the fast horse in the race, Super Sunday and Penn Hill, kind of, they were the ones fighting out, and Sam Spinner looked a bit outpaced, but then stayed on well to the line, I thought.
And don't forget, of course, Super Sunday beat Faheen over 2 miles at the Leperstown Racing Festival. So
I think it's a proper stare, and I think the jockey will go a bit faster from the front this time. Make it a real test, and Holstone had no excuse to challenge him. We're in a very good race, but I think Sam Spinner is the one for me.
Okay, so the 3 p.m. then on Saturday, the Doombar Maghull Novices Chase over 2 miles. Shane, what's the betting here?
Yep, the betting for the Doombar Maghull Novices Chase, Grade 1, as you mentioned, Shane, this coming week. laptop is just acting up a bit here, so just give me one moment there.
It's letting you down, the technology.
It is letting
it?
Me down, the technology, for the moment. So come back to me about the betting there, but I will have prices for you very shortly.
Yeah, so Peter, is it a case of Petty Mouchoir just has to show up here?
Well, hopefully so. I mean, Cheltenham was a bit of a disaster from Petty Mouchoir's point of view, contesting the lead and setting the race up for footpad. But with no footpad to worry about, you would say that this race should be at his mercy. If he has come out of the race properly, it there's no ill effect. He certainly deserves to win another pot like this.
Shane, probably not a working man's price here.
Yeah, 4-7, Shane. You expect him to go off at Petit Mouchoir. You've got Lady Buttons in there, 5-1. Diego de Charmille, who I actually thought would run a big race in this year's Arkle. Didn't even go for it in the end at the start of the season, I thought. But Shanturok is in there as well at 8-1. Expected to be another short field in this year's renewal, as will many of the Grade 1 renewals at entry this year be, Shane.
Yeah. I think it might be worth mentioning Petit Mouchoir's trainer, Henry de Bromhead, has a great record at Aintree, likes sending his horses there. Always does well, and 4-7, you're not really going to...
With his run the last day as well at Cheltenham, I mean, I hate to say it, but it was lunacy, the fact that the two lads out in front went at such a strong pace.
It's unlike Davy Russell to get that wrong.
Very much so. Mm. And I mean, he was beaten 15 lengths in the end, and the race was just completely set up for footpad, even though footpad made a horrendous mistake halfway down the back of Cheltenham in the Arkle. But they went off at such a brutal pace up in front that it was only going to be a matter of time before the front two ended up falling and set it up for footpad in the end. So
what did you make of that, Peter, actually, that pace?
It was crazy. I was amazed. I thought over the first few that Davy would let the other horse go on and just sit in behind him. And I think if that had happened, he would have been, I don't think he would have beaten footpad, but I think he would have been a lot closer to him. But I mean, there was no way they were going to keep up that pace. And he is better than that bare form. He ran a far better race against footpad in the Irish Arkle. And he beat footpad over hurdles a couple of times last year. So unless Cheltenham has made its mark, I think he could lob along in front, make all without going a crazy pace this time. But 4-7, a horse that has been to Cheltenham, not really a betting proposition for me anyway.
Yeah, but is there any hope of Petit Mouchoir being is your money safe enough here? I know it's risky, but
it is risky. I mean, it's a novice going over fences again, Shane. You know, you'd always be wary enough. Of course, we'll forget the famous Sunday Saw and his first start over fences a few years back. He was a faller at odds of 1-8 or whatever it was at Thurles. We all know what he's gone on to do since. But I mean, yeah, you're taking a very sharp price about a horse jumping over fences. You know, I'd have my doubts, to be honest. It's definitely not going to be one that I'm going to get stuck into anyway in that
accumulator
race.
Accumulator, maybe?
Possibly one for a multiple, if you're getting involved with Petit Mouchoir, but as a single, not a betting proposition for me anyway.
Okay, so the last race we want to look to is the 250 on Friday, the Betway Mild May Novices Chase. Shane, can we just get the prices on this?
So Tereford around about 100-30, Shane, as it stands. 6-1, then Elegant Escape, wearing the first time headgear for Colin Tizard, who was a fantastic record at the Aintree Festival in recent seasons. 6-1, then Maya Storm. 7-1, Kustar Savola. 7-1, Miss Parfoy. 8-1, Bard. Just to mention as well, Sean Flanagan will hopefully be on Snow Falcon, who he gave a good mention to at our Cheltenham preview with the back page a few weeks back as well. Unseated the last day at Ferry House, looking to recoup the losses this week.
Peter, who would you invest in here?
I might chance something each race, Snow Falcon. He was supposed to run in Cheltenham and just wasn't right. And he made an early exit in the Irish National. Classy hurdler. He has a chance. It's an open race. There's, as the betting suggests, there's nothing outstanding in the race. But I'd chance a little each race, Snow Falcon.
Elegant Escape, maybe, Eamon?
That horse, I think, this game was third in the RSA, and that form is working out really well. With Albin Photo fell at the, second last, he's gone on to win the Ryanair Monoli for second, and Presented Percy is a really impressive winner.
Just to mention as well, very briefly, of course, he was runner up to the mighty Sam Crow on his debut in a point. He was only beaten by a length as well. would you believe, a few seasons back. So I'm
yeah.
Needless to say, that form has been very much ranked.
But I very much like Snow Falcon as well. I think 12-1 maybe, yeah. Shane, something along those lines. Each way is great. I mean, going back to our save form, Snow Falcon ran at Leperstown in February, only about 5.5 lengths behind Monalee and Albion Photo. That
was a cracking reel. Probably the best novice chase of the season.
I don't think of the English, I don't think there's anyone of that form, to be honest. And I think a 12-1 chase, I think, is a great each way bet.
Like, Elegant Escape was beaten 14 lengths, don't forget, behind Presenting Percy. The first time Hegar goes on now, and Colin Tizard has a fantastic record at Aintree in recent seasons. Hasn't had a quite enough season, albeit he's won the Gold Cup, of course, with Native River, and I think he had a double actually on the last day at Cheltenham. He won the Albert Bartlett as well. But he's had a relatively quiet campaign. Many people were tipping him to be top trainer, top British jumps trainer this season, ahead of Paul Nicholls and Nicky Henderson at a big price. Hasn't quite worked out, but you know, he might have a few winners this week at Aintree.
So we're pretty much close to finishing up on the Grand National here. Peter, are there any other bets from Friday or Saturday that you're looking forward to, or that you'd want to tip for us?
I'll throw a little curveball in. One on the flat in Leopardstown on Saturday.
Right.
Horse of Aidan O'Brien's called Christopher Robin. He ran three times last year. I think he's well enough handicapped. He's in a three-year-old handicap over a mile and a quarter, and I don't know what's going to be taking him on, but I think it'll take a good one to beat him.
Right, okay.
Christopher Robin.
And what sort of price are we looking at for Christopher Robin, Peter? Give or take.
Well, he won't be a big price. I mean, the final declarations won't be out until Friday morning, so it's hard to know what price he'll be. He won't be a fancy price, but he'll do for me whatever price he is.
So just double them up, Shane, with Padimo Shwar. If you're feeling pretty confident this week, Padimo Shwar. And as Peter mentioned there, that horse at Leperstown put all those Cheltenham winnings that you mentioned there at the start of the show on that double.
I'm going to be absolutely flush by the
end
of this.
And you're off on another holiday. Yeah.
Okay, I think, lads, have you any other bets that you want to mention here before we finish up on the horse racing?
Just the two for me in the National, Shane. Lord Windermere and Total Recall, they're going to be my two investments in the big one this week.
And Peter, what's your definites here?
Well, another thing is definite, but as far as the National is concerned, I'd go with Tiger Roll, and for a horse at a big price, I would chance a little each way on Miles Morris's horse, Alpha De Zobo, ridden by Rachel Blackmore. Classy horse. He has he's 11-3, which is plenty of weight. But if he came back to his best and took the task over there, I could see him running a big race.
He's 33-1. Yeah, as it stands.
You heard it here from Peter. He'll ensure any losses on that one. He's so confident in it. Eamon, finally. What's your lock of the week?
There's a horse called Project Blue Book I've been following for ages, but it's going to run Friday, the first race on Friday. I think it's about 33-1, but I think it's been saved for this race. Well, it's meant to run at Cheltenham. I think a bit of a setback, but it's been running on the winter in Tarborough ground. It likes good ground. It won a grade two at Ferry House last spring, being Dandy and Mag in a great finish, but I think it's only £1 up from that. Yeah, I think it's been mapped out for this race, and JP McManus, I predict a bit of a gamble on this, so I'd say get on there each way.
John Quinn teaming up with Brian Hughes.
Very
there
shrewd
as well.
Trainer,
yeah.
Okay, that's the horse racing. Peter, that's where we'll say goodbye to. Thank you very much. Excellent stuff as always.
Not at all, Shane. Take care.
We'll chat to you soon. Okay, lads, we're going to move on to a little bit of Premier League, and we've touched on the Champions League this week, which was some crazy stuff. We'll only briefly touch on that. The way Juventus came from 3-0 down on aggregate at home to be a 3-3 heading into injury time, and then the penalty. Yeah. Obviously, Ronaldo tucks it away the way he normally does and shows us off his
cracking
fine abs.
Penalty.
And it meant a lot that he decided that we all wanted to see his abs once more. What a fool he is. But
heard that quote taken back there during the week by a certain member of the RT panel. He came out and actually said that
he's a joke.
Yeah. He ended up saying after he's going to take it all back, and he's finally going to admit now that he's a great, great player. So
Do you know what's interesting? I was just looking over the form guide in the Premier League, and we're going to tee up three games: Spurs, City, Liverpool, Bournemouth, and Man United against West Brom. But I was just, you know, the way you can kind of take a cursory glance at the form table, and you know it's done out in red and green, so it's very easy to identify what the form is like for certain parts of the table. And I looked at the bottom six teams in the Premier League, and of their last 30 games combined, they've won just two. two out of 30 games.
It's shocking.
The best league in the world.
Yeah.
It's absolutely full of turkeys. These teams are brutal.
Yeah.
And actually, for that reason, I was going to do this game last, but West Brom are one of the worst of the lot. And finally, they gave the bullet to Alan Pardew, which was not before time.
They're pretty much, I'm just looking at the table here, they're 10 behind Palace as a stance with only 5 left.
Yeah, Palace being in 4th last at the moment.
With 31. West Brom back, you know, 3 wins all season. I mean, for any team in the Premier League to have that bad a return, was it Sunderland's? Going back,
they had something like 15.
15 or 16.
Did Derby have something really pathetic?
Derby
as well?
Had a very poor season the last time.
Yeah, we've great research done here, haven't we?
Wolves had a really poor year as well. As a Wolves fan myself, but they did.
Are you a Wolves fan?
Yeah, so it's a good time to be a Wolves fan.
Yeah, they're the Barcelona of the Championship.
Oh, yeah, and West Brom going down, Wolves going up, couldn't be better. But
Black Country Derby will not happen.
No.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, so West Brom all but relegated. It'll surely be confirmed here because Man United like to steamroll these useless teams, don't they?
Yeah, you would think so. They're very short in the betting, Shane. 2-11 United to beat West Brom this coming weekend. 11-2 the draw. 18-1 if you fancy an away win for West Brom this weekend.
Wow.
Unlikely, but...
Look, that's unlikely to happen. Is there any value in this at all, like in terms of United winning 2-0? Or Eamon, what do you see happening here?
Can I see an United win? I hate to say, but yeah.
It's got 2-0 written all over it.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. Boring 2-0.
Yeah, we'll come back to those prices just in a second. But for Man United to come from 2-0 down at halftime to beat City last weekend, does that buy Mourinho a lot of time? Because the way the season has gone, they've just been so far behind City in terms of the league. And they had bowed out in the Champions League to Sevilla earlier than City, obviously. Bowing out to Liverpool this week as well. Does it buy Mourinho a bit of time and a bit of good grace, the fact that he's beaten City like that?
I think so. To be honest, I don't think results-wise hasn't been that bad.
But they're terrible to watch and they're not...
I know, that's the big negative for me, is the playing style. The Champions League was a disaster. They could still win the FA Cup. I think to be actually second league is actually pretty good from what they were doing last year. Results-wise, I think Mourinho's job was very safe anyway. But
yeah, it's a strange one. I mean... Hardcore United fans will only look at one thing, and that's silverware come the end of the year, and especially in relation to the league. They'll see the neighbours across, you know, a few miles down the road running away with the league title, and it will be wrapped up in the next number of weeks. I'm fairly certain about that. It's only a matter of time. I feel that last weekend's results only bought United maybe a couple of weeks, and it can actually be won this weekend if United fail to beat West Brom and City win. So yeah, United fans will just look solely at the trophy cabinet at the end of the season. As Amy mentioned, there's a chance of winning the FA Cup, but it'll be interesting to see that a revamp, shall we say, during the summer transfer window on what Jose decides to do with certain players.
But there is some United fans, though. I'd love to see the back of him, though, like just playing style-wise. They don't think he's the Man United style. He bores them. You know, he bores a lot of people, but... Yeah, I think I think there is a split there amongst the fans.
Yeah, because you don't want to lose face with Liverpool fans and City fans, so you kind of have to back him even through gritted teeth. I can't see it lasting all that long.
I know, used to have an identity, didn't they? Like the flying wingers, the Chelsea's, the gigs, and they've lost their identity. Yeah, they're just totally gone.
Their new identity is square pegs and round holes. And let's get Fellaini on.
Yeah. Just looking at this weekend's match, I know you love a half-time, full-time bet.
Do I what?
Man United half-time, full-time, 8-11. So you're getting 8-11 about a, you know, 2-11 shot if they're ahead at half-time and end up being in front of full-time as well.
Me likey.
Could be one.
Can we have a little look at Spurs against Man City? That's on an unusual time of 7:45 on Saturday. Thought that was unusual. It's amazing how City are coasting to the title and yet their season is collapsing. You know, they've lost twice to Liverpool and United in the past week. I kind of wonder, is the edge being taken off their brilliant title win because of this mini collapse, in the same way that, you know, England have win the Six Nations but they lose to Ireland on the final day and it takes the gloss off it. Is there that sort of effect here?
I mean, there was always going to be a stumbling point this season. I mean, they weren't going to win every game. Although, I'd looked throughout most of the season that they were going to go on and win every game because they were beating teams, you know, 4-5-0 every week. But they were going to have that little lull in form. And it's just... It came at the wrong time. They're out of Europe. It's come towards the end of the season. And they've had a tough run of games as well. Don't forget, they were playing United last weekend. Liverpool over two legs, albeit it looks... a horrendous scoreline in a two-legged affair, 5-1 in aggregate. Liverpool have you know, arguably possibly the best front three in Europe at the moment, you know, the way Mo Salah's playing. So, I mean, that was no disgrace. It has, as you mentioned, taken a bit of the gloss off the end of the season, but they will coast to this year's Premier League trophy. I've no doubt about that in the next couple of weeks. And
yeah, I'd agree with that.
Still a lot
what a prediction from you, Shane. What a prediction. The team that are a million points ahead will win.
Yeah.
Jeez, somebody old, in he a stuck nutshell. His neck on the line
in
there.
A nutshell.
Eamon, City, three collapses in a row, to lose 3-0 to Liverpool, to lose from two goals ahead to United, and to lose from a goal ahead to Liverpool. What's your read on City?
I think there has been a drop in performance. I looked at De Bruyne in those Liverpool games, and he has performance a drop. But I thought
he started well in the second leg. I
just thought there looked too much pressure on him. They kept looking at him to make something happen to break through the Liverpool defence, and I thought, Jesus, he's actually still quite young. There's a lot of pressure on him now to make things happen. And can never say his name. Jesus, I call him.
Gabriel Jesus.
Yes.
Is it Jesus or Jesus? Or who cares?
Yeah.
His eyebrows really annoy me. You see the way he's got this solemn look on his face, and he constantly looks
like
a little bit
sad. Yeah, permanent expression.
I'm surprised you've picked that one out now that annoys you about him.
Why?
About a player. Just the eyebrows, nothing else. Just
well, that, right. Yeah, I don't know. It's just that look. I just find him very annoying. Actually, speaking of annoying, Harry Kane and insisting on getting this goal.
That was hilarious, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just a little bit clownish. But actually, the fact that Spurs went ahead and appealed that Christian Eriksen didn't get the goal and it touched Harry Kane, and he's swearing on his daughter's life. I mean, get a grip, man.
Yeah.
But the fact that Spurs went ahead and did it on his behalf, which
pathetically.
Yeah, it might annoy Eriksen. Who knows what'll happen
Shane,
out of that.
Shane, like, imagine that was in a GA dressing room. How would your teammates react to that?
The question I wonder is, how afraid are Spurs of losing this guy that they're willing to bend the knee on this one?
Yeah. Very, very afraid, I'd say, Shane. If Harry Kane has a good World Cup this year with England, gets them through the group stages, England get a good run in the World Cup, you know, Madrid or Barcelona are going to come knocking on the door, surely, and Daniel Levy isn't going to have much choice if they offer 200 million or some ridiculous fee for Harry Kane. There's a good chance that they're going to accept. And
I don't know the charisma for Madrid or Barcelona. I don't know what I'm trying
to say. Not, but he's just an out and out goal scorer.
You can't argue his goal record. Yeah. But as I keep saying to my friend, he's still not convinced he's a good, really great player. He's one of those players. I think it's because of his lack of pace or something.
What?
I don't know.
Well, like, Spurs have become a feeder club for Real Madrid, Modric and Bale. So, and he seems like the identical power forward that can do most things that would suit them. And he's an upgrade on Benzema,
and
surely.
He could be a replacement for Benzema, who's been there a long time now at the Bernabeu. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him head this
summer. Perhaps there could be a swap in there. Didn't Spurs get that Soldado off did he go directly from Spurs or Valencia at the time? I can't remember exactly.
I think it was Valencia.
Yeah, but he was just as poor with Real as he was with Spurs.
Just very briefly as well, Shane, in relation to this match, it's one of our several double odds matches in Ladbrokes shops this weekend. Came good on both our live Champions League matches this week. Of course, we had an early goal in the City-Liverpool match with Gabriel Jesus, and also just last night with Juve and Madrid with Mandzukic after just shy of 2 minutes. So if we have a goal inside the first 15 minutes in the Spurs City match, we will double those winning odds in the first goal score.
Can you just give us a recap on the prices here?
The match betting?
Yeah.
Yep.
Please.
So Spurs 13-8, the draw 5-2, City at 6-4. Very tight in the match betting.
Yeah.
City slight favourites.
It's actually hard to go against Spurs here because, you know, obviously they had those early wobbles at Wembley, but these days they're a very hard side to back against.
They're well rested compared to City. You've had three tough games in a row. Like,
and mentally as well as physically.
Physically,
because that's been some serious ups and downs. I'd be going with the home win here. What did you say was 13-8?
Yeah, 13-8. I'm looking at a bet here. I mean, if you reckon both teams will find the net, which is odds on as well. But if you want to bump up that 13-8 out to 130, Spurs to win and both teams to score.
That might be the value.
130.
Yeah, I'm all over that one. The game that kicks off at 5:30, so just before the Spurs City game, is Liverpool against Bournemouth. I wonder, to some degree, is this a bit of a nothing game? Because Liverpool are going to be, as we saw with their team against Everton last week, they're focusing on the league now. Bournemouth, they've one win from the last five, so they're playing pretty poorly.
Yeah.
But they're 10 points clear of danger. So what's really to play
thank
for?
Thank God for the turkeys for Bournemouth. Like, they haven't even had a great season, but they're already safe. Like, they must be like thinking, how did this happen? But yeah, I agree. I think neither team
both teams are kind of looking beyond this game. But I can imagine Klopp won't blame Klopp for resting some of his big players at all. But I can still see a Liverpool win.
Yeah, they're very short in the match, betting 1-4, draw at 5-1, 11-1 about the Bournemouth win as well. Just to say, it is another double odds match. It's a good chance we could see an early goal at Anfield this weekend.
Yeah, it's a bit of a lottery, this game, because neither team have a massive amount at stake.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool's still very short in the match betting, albeit, I mean, had Liverpool no European involvement and they were on such a good run in the league, perhaps you'd probably double that out to maybe 1-8 or 1-10 or something like that. But as you mentioned, they'll be looking further afield. They'll be looking to tomorrow's draw, no doubt, in the European Cup.
Isn't it amazing what Jurgen Klopp has done, in the sense that he hasn't even completed his second full season, and... You know, I mean, they can play the way they played against City. And I obviously, they rode their luck in the first half, and there was that disallowed goal for Sané. Mm-hmm. But he had no Emre Can. He had no Jordan Henderson, who obviously we've derided many times here and will do so again.
That was a blessing in disguise, though.
Yeah, but like, he puts in Gigi Wijnaldum, or is it Gini Wijnaldum? And, you know, it doesn't make a massive difference. Yeah. And on their roll.
And I think you should definitely mention James Milner, because I thought he was just brilliant over the two legs. Like,
did he run 2 kilometres more than anyone else at 32 years of age?
That wouldn't surprise
me. Some shape,
he's
though,
an
isn't
absolute
he?
Workhorse. Yeah. And absolute workhorse.
Such charisma as well.
If I was Southgate, I'm making him England captain. He doesn't even get in the squad. So no. I think I had to look it up the other day, because I was interested, who is the England captain? Does any of you know at the moment?
Nobody knows or cares.
No, well, Joe Hart.
Jordan Henderson is the captain. Henderson. Yeah.
Do you remember a few years ago when
James
Liverpool...
Milner should be, sorry.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Are you listening, Gareth?
I'm actually going to back up your point, but do you remember a couple of years ago when Liverpool more or less had the title won, and they had that collapse late on under Brendan Rodgers, and they were ahead of City and outplaying them, a game they ended up losing 3-2 or winning 3-2? Look.
At Anfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won it, I think, wasn't it 3-2?
Liverpool did. Yeah. But that day, I remember Milner was playing for City, and in the first half, Liverpool absolutely steamrolled him. And James Milner came on and absolutely changed the game from the right wing. And now he's and obviously they lost that game. But this is just beefing up your point that he is an excellent player, even though he's been laughed at plenty for being a boring man and just But he's always been a solid player.
Set up his official Twitter account there recently as
well. Did he?
Everybody knows about that famous Twitter account that has been
boring James Milner.
Well, he set up his official one there recently, just himself out with an ironing board, I think it was, ironing one of his shirts.
Good crack.
Yeah.
Good crack.
As he seems to be.
Right, so we're all going to... Actually, this is a tough one to call. I mean, I'd love to see what Liverpool team is going to be lined out, but it's hard to go against them, so...
Yeah, I'm going to not particularly... have a strong view on this, but at halftime, just going to look at a halftime bet here. For it to be a draw at halftime, 17-10, I think Liverpool might just take their time coming into this match and build up a bit of momentum. So I reckon it could be a draw at halftime, just shy 2-1, 17-10, but a draw at halftime in this match.
So, are there any? Sorry, you want to?
No, I go with that. Yeah,
you would.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are there any bets of the week, guys? Because we're about to close up shop here.
Bets of the week, Shane. Going to have a small interest in this week's Premier League darts, which gets on tonight in Sheffield. Simon Whitlock takes on Michael Van Gerwen. Now, he is a massive price, and that's no surprise that he's a massive price to beat the number one player in the world. He's 9-1, and Michael Van Gerwen is 1-6. The draw 15-2, but Simon Whitlock to win. There's a special on our website at the moment, ladbrokes.com. Simon Whitlock to win. Score 100 or more with the first three darts and lead after the first two legs, 33-1. So I'm going to have a cheeky fiver on that tonight. Simon Whitlock, 9-1. Still in the top four, of course. Judgment night was last week in Liverpool. He's still there. There's still a chance he can make the playoffs as well. So 33-1 about that offer.
What does Judgment night mean?
So that was last week. I think it was Garwin Price and Mensur Sulevic were knocked out. So there's only eight left from a starting field of 10. But he's a massive price to win this match. And, you know, it could easily be Michael Van Gerwen 7-0 or 7-1 or something like that. But 33's about that offer. And just two in the national as well. Lord Windermere, 66-1.
Will you go away with
total recall at 10s, not forgetting that extra place. Don't forget, 5 places each way, and her 5-1 offer continues right throughout the 3 days at Aintree as well.
I'm going to stick with Aintree one, a horse I mentioned earlier in case no one was listening at that stage. Project Blue Book. It's 33.
Mentioned the price and that was it. Yeah. People had turned off.
33-1 each way, 145 Friday. Yeah, back it now before the price goes.
And if you want something that has a realistic chance of winning in the Grand National, the Last Samurai, 16-1. You heard it here first.
I know. Solid.
Yeah. I think we've more or less all said, have we, lads? Don't forget, absolutely, you can follow us on Spotify and iTunes. Lads, thanks very much, Eamon.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Pleasure, Shane.
And Peter, who we had on the line earlier, I'm heading off to get into a bath of Lemsip. And fair play to any listener who's been able to endure my nasally voice for the last however long we've been on. We'll get you again next week.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.